Renowned American artist Lawrence Carroll was one of those commissioned by the Vatican to do an exhibit for Venice's Biennale, one of the world's most prestigious and cutting-edge contemporary arts festivals. Carroll said he was delighted to have been commissioned by the Holy See to prepare an instalment entitled Recreation for the festival. He spoke to myself, Susie Hodges, about the Vatican's commission and shared his thoughts about his own life and the themes that have inspired his work.
What was your reaction when you were approached by the Holy See to take part in this exhibit? Were you surprised?
I was surprised. I received a very formal letter in my apartment in Venice, and I don't think I told anyone for several months. I waited 2 or 3 months before I contacted anyone. I wanted to, in a way, digest it and understand it and to know who was involved and what the ideas were behind it, to feel comfortable to enter a project like this. So I waited, I think, quite a long time before agreeing to do the project.
I know that you're working on the recreation aspect of this exhibit, which, of course, is inspired by the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what your work is seeking to portray and how you are portraying it.
They never really asked anything of me. They sent me the text of the idea behind the project, which I think I casually maybe passed through one time. Not to be to push away the idea, but when I work, I need complete freedom with where I go with my work. I didn't want anything to catch me or to trip me that I felt like I had to, in a way, illustrate. I wanted to be completely independent with the work. I trusted the fact that they chose my work because of the work that I've done over the last 30 years. And I felt if I stayed true to what I do, that it would certainly be able to, in a way, fit into what they were saying. Instead of my work trying to fit in what they were saying, I would rather make work in a way outside of an idea and true to what I do, and then place it to where they felt they saw something in my work that they felt, in a way, close to their ideas. And that's how I approached this project.
So how did you portray this theme of recreation?
Well, my work has been about, for a long time, about the idea that ideas and things, the possibility for them to have another life, that they, for example, an idea can be carried through generation after generation and placed in the hands of another artist when they might look at a work from an artist from a previous generation. And they might look at something like I might look at an artist, for example, like Morandi or Giotto or a more contemporary artist like Twombly. And you look at their work and you take away something with you and you really carry it with you. And you try to unfold something that they've given you into your own work in your own way, in the spirit of their work, not in trying to duplicate something that they've made. No, but there's a certain quality to certain works that affect me that I try to find that in my own work. And I think through this project, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to carry something forward, to bring something, to renew something in a way. And hopefully with my work, for a younger artist one day to see what I have done, to take this and open it up in their own work and be able to interpret, translate, produce something in their own way, in their own form, and ideas that have been around for a long time. And to continue this, you know, to continue this dialogue of those that came before us and to try to carry something forward. My work has been, from the beginning, when I was a young artist in New York, leaving from Los Angeles, was important for me to have something that I felt was my own, but also something that was connected to something behind me, looking over the bridge back at what's behind you from where you came. And you're trying, in a way, to connect to that, but also to bring it into the present. I think this is what a lot of painters do. You know, they look back at other artists and they try to find something in the work to bring into their own work, to bring into where we live now. We're not living in the 1940s or 50s or the early 1920s when Morandi, for example, was in Bologna. It's a different time. It's a different context. It's a different politics. But there's something about his work that escapes that. And I would like my work also to escape a certain time. I wouldn't want to think, oh, this is an artist who painted this in 1985 or 1993 or 2010. I would like something to be more independent of the moment, that's able to transcend something, to be able to be placed in another arena, for example. I mean, when I go to Assisi, for example, to visit the frescoes of Giotto and the Basilica of San Francesco, which I did recently, which I've done for many years. You know, I'm void of the context of the time and the politics of the time, but there's something deeply humanly connected to the work that I feel when I look at the frescoes of Giotto. There's a palpable humanity that's inherent in his work, void sometimes even of the subject, to know that there's something in there that's still giving me something. And I hope one day my work can also do this. And that's a thread to the past, to the future, a bridge from Assisi to a young boy in California who didn't even know what Assisi was until 25, 30 years ago. I mean,
and what's been the early advance feedback, you know, before the exhibition opens? And what have people been saying? Do you think they've understood what you've been trying
well,
to
do? Well, nobody has seen what I've done. You know, I didn't have nobody in the Vatican in the commission of the curatorial team visited my studio until I think a week or so ago. So I've kept everything. I've kept everybody away. I needed to be protected in the sense of my working process, because I'm still making the work. I still have some work to do.
How long ago then did you start working on it?
As soon as I said yes to the project, I started think about it in November, October, or visiting the space and thinking about what I might do and trying to put some shape to its form.
Going back a bit to what you did in the past, mm-hmm. you were famous for exploring paintings that would move away from the frame, the mm-hmm. so-called table paintings. Tell us a little bit briefly about why you started upon this and what sort of inspired you to do it.
From the beginning, my work had a very sculptural component to it. My early works had they were much small in scale. I had a small studio, and we're talking now about early 1980s in New York City. I'd left Los Angeles. I didn't look so much at painting per se, but I looked a lot at sculpture. It was interesting, the form of the sculpture, the box-like quality of it. It was very inviting to me to wonder that a painting can have not just one facade, but it could have a sculptural component. It could have what you see is not always what you get. So there's a front, and there's a side, and there's a bottom and a top. So I started to exaggerate this with my work. I started to give my work more of a sculptural dimension to it. And I think slowly through the years, this language evolved. I was able to say, okay, if there's a sculptural component and the work is a box-like sculpture in a way, that there's also an inside and an outside. And if I was to cut into the work, that it would reveal something. It would expose something. It would take away a facade in a way, and it would invite another kind of belief into what painting could be. And I think through this slow exploration through the years, I was able to develop into what you say are these sort of gestural table paintings. It's just a continuation of ideas that have slowly unfolded into my own language in a way, informed by other things, of course, around me. I don't think an artist works solely alone. I think everything comes from somewhere. You know, you look at the work of Picasso, and they say, oh, he's this genius with this, but he looked so much at the primitive African mask and the sort of stylization of the form of the mask and the stylization of the reduction using this sort of African language of the exaggeration of the eyes, the nose, and he brought this element into Paris at a time when nobody was paying attention to it. But it didn't come from a dream. It didn't come from him inventing this. It was already there. He saw something that was neglected in a way or wasn't brought into the spotlight of fashion or the spotlight of something that was necessarily important to look at. And I think something that I do is that I've been fortunate enough, if I have any gift, I think it's the gift of looking at simple things in life. And I think this comes from my family, you know, mm-hmm. family that were immigrants to America, my mother from Ireland, my father from Australia, not with a lot of money. We had to, as my parents were young parents in America, they never threw anything away. They would fix the hole in my pants. They would fix the chair if it was broken. Everything had another life. It wasn't just taken away and disposed.
It was salvaged.
Yes, and I think for my work, this idea of giving something another life, of continuing an idea that might have been forgotten or thrown away or looked tired or out of fashion, but to me still had value. And this has always been important to my work. One misconception with my work that I'd like to really make clear is that often when people see my work, they think that I find these discarded, used objects by the side of the road. It's not true. Everything within my studio starts new. It has the materials I bring into the studio. And the process that they go through, the life that they go through, is something that is inherited and resolved through the studio. There's a big difference between finding something on the street that already has a history and then making something in your studio that has its own history.